This is Channel One Over. This is Channel One Over and a continuation of that session after supper. After the study session in the morning, I went back after supper and Mabel talked some more about Cora and Leola and Minnie and Lara. And this is Channel One Over, Channel One Over, on Tuesday, the 17th of June, 69.
Sorry.
They mean business.
They mean business. They'd better do anything in the world for one of, you know, any of them.
Well, now, they live on so little up there now, Mabel, like you were saying this morning. Mm-hmm. And then you were instrumental in them getting that.
Getting what they get?
Yes. Now, tell me how that worked out.
Well, Cora, honestly, mm-hmm. Leola, you know, I told
yeah.
you this morning,
yeah.
the first check she got was $300 and something.
Yeah.
And then I think it's $28 a month she got then.
Uh-huh.
But then they have raised Social Security some, and so I imagine she may be getting up young around $30-$35 a month.
Well, how did you figure that she might be eligible for Social Security?
Well, Guy, you know, I got keen ears, and when I hear anything, I don't forget.
Yeah.
And what gave me the idea on all this, that Fred Wood's sister, Ms. Thomas,
yeah,
you know, Mary
yeah,
Thomas, she
yeah.
died here several months ago. Her mother-in-law worked for the welfare in O'Kelly. You know, they have a state
yeah.
welfare and they have a county welfare, and she worked for the county.
Yeah.
Well, she never had paid Social Security. And so when she retired, that this come in, you know, that you could pay back. So many, you know, yes, they'll pay it back so he could get it. When he's working in university, he never had worked under. And so he paid it back. Well, that Ms. Thomas down there, she paid it back to a certain year, you know. And all right there. Well, when she did, that made her eligible for, she was old enough to get Social Security. So she, for her first check was $1,100 and something.
Mm.
Well, I thought if she could do it, it could be done for others too. So that's
yeah.
where I got mine.
Yeah.
And then you got it for old man Smith.
I got it for man Lon Smith down there. He told me, he says, honey, you know, that was Cora Smith's daddy.
Yeah.
He says, honey, says you just can't do it. He says, I never have worked but one season in the oranges. Now that's season work, that's not year.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and you just can't get it. Says, I know you can't. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I never have tried nothing yet, I didn't do it. I said, Mr. Agnes told me, said, well, Mabel says he won't have nothing to do with it. And said, if you could do anything about it, says, how about you see about it? I've taken her card. And went up with his card, went up here to to Gainesville, and put in for that Social Security.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
And so whenever the papers come back, I went in there, and all like that. Of course, I couldn't sign them. But then whenever I had everything ready, then the court that came up then, he signed the paper.
Well,
and the
is
first
right?
check he got was $270, and that's what they had in two porches remodeled with.
Oh, really?
$270 was the first check he got.
Yeah.
And then there was another one down there, Ms. Johns, where I had a bunch of children. And her husband was dead. And she was Robert Williams' sister. And that poor woman had a rough time. And one Monday morning, I got to think about it on Sunday, and I told no man Lon Smith. And he said, Mabel said, if she can get help, so that poor thing needs it. I got up on Monday morning and got my work done up here, fell off the work. I take my car and I went out, and I told her, I said, you get ready to come and go with me this morning. And So she didn't ask me no questions. I said, I think I can do some things to help you. I told her going on the town what I was going to do. I went into the welfare office up there, and I went in and talked to the big boss himself. And then they sent her in. And so it was $80 and $90 a month I got for her.
Oh, my.
And it helped her out. And her little old boy, she'd be working, and the poor little old things would go to the dentist that they would have down there. We used to have them, you know, 3 or 4 years down there in the park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you?
Yeah, we used to have them like that.
Oh, I see.
And those,
like 4th of July or something?
Yeah, well, then other times, too, we just helped them have us a little dinner down there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, twice I cooked the chicken down there, and they still say that's the best picnic they ever had down there. It's the best chicken they ever ate. Leroy Richardson's wife said she never eaten chicken that tastes like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sadie wouldn't be there, and these little old boys would try to cook up something. One time they brought Sadie
mm-hmm.
over there to the park that they had made themselves. And I'd eaten some of that salad if I knew it killed me. I don't know how nasty it was.
Mabel, how do they get by on that little Social Security they have up there?
Well, now, you see, she stays with Laura.
Yes.
And that don't cost anything.
Well, Laura cost her.
It cost Laura, but Laura's got a mighty wealthy daughter in Jacksonville, too.
Does she help her?
I know she does. She's got, and then she's got a son that makes good money, too, you see.
Oh, well.
And so that's the way Laura really has been able to get by better than Leola has.
Oh.
But Laura's son and daughter, Polly, husband owns, he and Mr. Robert owns the Chevrolet and automobile place at Green Coast Springs.
Yeah.
And Herman makes good money.
Yeah.
And so Polly does a whole lot, so I know, for Laura. Now, Laura hasn't told me that, but...
Well, Laura doesn't need much.
No, she doesn't need much.
But she needs more than a little...
But I know she saved some of that $10,000 that was paid to her, you know, back from the society.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she didn't throw it away, and then that Social Security I got for her, that helped her a whole lot.
Well, I feel a little better about it then. I just, you just got to have a little to
But a little Cora, Leola, she has very little, but she don't grumble, and her clothes is given to her by somebody else.
Well, now, it's hard, that old car she has.
Mm-hmm.
Now she never knows when she's going to get there.
She don't know, but she's going to try.
And, one day he had stopped down there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get it started. And I went up and told Ben, I said, will you come down here and tell me what it takes to get this thing started? He come down there and he said, well, if you get a coil, says, the biggest thing, says, their spark plugs being burnt up.
Yeah.
That it causes this coil to crack.
Yeah.
And he said, if you get a coil and some spark plugs, said, we'll start it. So we got some spark. I went to town and got some spark plugs and a coil and come back and put it on now.
Phil?
She had a, wanted to know how much it cost. Well, I didn't know. She offered me, she had $1.70. I told her I didn't think it cost that much. I don't know. I'd find out.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I guess not.
The students, they treat the students now just like they have been treating the niggers. Well, they say it seems to be right.
Looks like they're scared to say anything to them.
They're scared to say anything to them. Now, did you many set tos with the students?
Might have what?
Oh, you know, showdowns with the students.
I had several.
Well, what were they? I forget what I name one or two of them.
Well, one of them was for dropping Listerine
yes,
bottles
yes.
down the
How'd
thing.
That go?
Got way I couldn't even get a maiden janitor to go that way. It was scared. One of them got a ankle cut with a piece of flying glass, and I went up there to his room to be with them while they was cleaning. So if anything did happen, I'd be there. And it did. And I went up. And you know, if he'd have had an inch of man in him, he'd have hit me. Or he'd have done something. He'd have put up what fight there was in him. Because I called him every name that I could think of.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to report me to Dean Thady. I said, you won't have to do that. I will. And it wasn't for just a week or two till he would graduate. He was a graduate student. And Dean Thady, before he would let him graduate, that had to get my consent that it was all right for him to graduate.
Is that right?
That's right.
Did you talk to Dean Thady?
Yes, I did. Dean Thady come down. I went to see Dean Thady.
Yeah.
And Dean Thady come down there to see me.
Yeah.
And I told him I didn't think graduating would do him a damn bit of good. But whatever he thought about it, that I'd do what he said about it.
Yeah. Don't talk like that now, Mabel.
These boys would move a refrigerator in the room, you know, and have it stocked with beer, whiskey, and all, and have a hot plate to cook and all like that. And I'd go up there and tell him that that was against the rule. He'd have to get it out of there. Now, if he didn't do it, I'd done it for him.
Yeah.
I went and got up there and got it and carried it down to the basement and stored it.
Yeah.
And I went in one room and told two niggas to get that refrigerator and take it out of there. And boy come in from the other room. He says, you can't do that. I said, son, just watch me. And I took it over a lot of things like that. And these old doorbells, you know, that they lift, they won't wait.
Yeah.
They pick them up, drop them on the floor like this, and bust them. And they wasn't allowed in the rooms. and I'd go up and get them. I'd ask, boy, I says, do you want to take these things out of here? Do you want me to do it? Well, I'll take them out. I said, all right. When? I'll do it by tomorrow. All right. I'd go ahead. And if they wasn't out by tomorrow, I went up there with some niggas and took them up and carried them on out.
Well,
carried them on down.
They had the motor out of the automobile and they weren't working. Now, you know what that would do to a
room. Yeah, he had the motor in his room, had it towed down all over the floor.
Lord help us.
And I told him, I said, I'm going to give you this afternoon to get this up from him. And he said, I can't put this together back. I said, you can get it somewhere. I said, now, if you don't, I says, I'm going to take it and throw it out the window. The whole business. I thought, sure, that he would done it. And I walked in the room next afternoon. I give it to the next afternoon. And I walked in the room and it was just like it was. And he met me at the door and told me that this student counselor there is, what was his name, Mabel?
King, it wasn't King.
No, it wasn't King, it was the other one. Yeah. Up there. He says, I've got permission from him to put this in here. I told him, I says, he ain't got a damn thing to do with this. And I said, I told you yesterday morning to get this stuff out of here. If it didn't, I was going to throw it out the window. And I said, mister, I don't lie. I told him, niggas, I'd pick it up and throw it out the window. And I threw every damn piece of it out of there and cleaned up his room.
He had one of those students tell him, says, I can't keep you from reporting me. But he says that, what was it? He said if you reported him, what he'd do.
Yes, that didn't keep him from kicking me out of that. That's what he said. But he was a big old fat Jew. And Mabel and them had been somewhere to get some shrubbery. And she left her, carried a pistol with her. And she left it in the pocket of the truck, glove department, which was no lock or nothing on it. And I put the thing in my coat pocket and got out. And before I got to the office, they told me about this guy just taking a basin and picked it up and threw it down against that concrete wall and busted it and wanted me to go down there and see it and what it cost to fix it. And I went down there and I never had a gun in my possession before nor since while I worked there. But when he said that didn't keep him from stomping the hell out of me, boy, he sure was mistaken then. Because if he'd attempted such a thing, there wasn't but six bullets in there, but I'd have put him in one right between his eyes. after I went down, I heard some their faculty talking up there, and they said then about 22% of the students that graduated from that college amounted to anything. Just only 22% was what they figured. It won't be 2% now, will it?
I don't know.
Some boy, 4 or 5 years old, was doing what they done.
That's right.
You could look over.
You could look over.
Well, that's it, and I'd say that's really worth going over there. Now, if Phil didn't get out until the middle of the day, he wasn't up when I left this morning. He's feeling sort of puny. Now, he leaned back in his chair tonight with a glass of punch, and there he roused enough to tell me those marvelous stories. One or two that I remembered and I wanted him to get on to, it took so much energy I didn't bring him up. Now this is Channel 1 over around 2:40. Channel 1 over around 2:40. This is after supper. I went back to get Ms. Patterson to tell me some more of the things she told me this morning so I could get it down better on the tape. This morning the microphone's too far away. This is Tuesday night after supper, the 17th of June, 69. And I went over this morning to the study session with Leola and Claire and the other lady. Now, the session this morning was on Get Out from Among Them, that old idea of Babylon as the religion joined with politics, and politics corrupts religion, and it's that same old corrupt religion that obtains still, and it's a text from Revelation chapter 18. But what it led into afterwards, Ms. Patterson talked about. Oh, she got started. She talked for, the longest time, a half an hour, better. She said she knew how to get things done. Now, she talked on that same theme tonight, except she's, of course, tired. The whole day was behind her, and she didn't have her teeth in. Her teeth were hurting her gums, and she wouldn't put them in for me. But her voice is just as strong as it need to be. Every now and then you can tell it sounds a little bit off. Now this is about up to 260 now. This is Channel 1 over. After supper, after the study session, with to find out more about Ms. Patterson's and Leola and Cora and Lara and that old all those friends of hers. Now, this is Channel 1 over around 260, 65, 70. I taped over that marvelous fine little tape we made in August, back in August, early part of August, last of July. I just taped over it and run it. It's been on my mind ever since. So today, Saturday, the 30th of August, 69, Labor Day weekend, we went in town. We went in town, for bread and groceries and errands and all. Had the car service. Oh, it's way overdue. Then I had a flat tire over there at Laura's when I came out. One tire was perfectly flat. I just had it on my mind, so I called up, and Laura talked as if she were in fine state of mind, fine frame of mind. Then I called back and talked to Leola, and I told her I wanted to let Laura talk as much as she would. And I remembered last time, Laura wasn't feeling so well, and she would solely talk over to Leola. Leola had just come back from that marvelous convention anyhow in Atlanta. She was excited about that. She didn't know what to do, and she just full of talk. And we talked the longest time today. Now, she's feeling better, and her talk is not quite as interesting. She has that vigor. She's right warm-hearted, too, but those little lyric passages don't quite come out. Well, anyhow, this is a visit on Saturday, the 30th of August, 69, Labor Day weekend, and this is Channel 1 over around 2:80 now.
Sir was in the crew, and he's a good man, and I think of him as a brother, I don't think he ever accepted the truth.
He's not interested in it, too?
He isn't interested in it? It's funny to me that his
and
sister
got an
is.
Aunt. His Aunt Willie.
And some cousins, some nieces.
And she's way up in her 80s. And Mr. Donaldson's sister has gone out there, and he's going to bring Aunt Willie back for a visit. But
I can't imagine
he'll, when he'll take magazines occasionally when somebody...
Oh, that was Mr. Donaldson, the man that keeps Leola's car going. I always ask about a car. And they weren't sure how he felt now about witnesses.
I don't think you all realize how much you know.
How little you mean.
Well, you take somebody to see who don't study.
I can't.
It's just all. They don't even know enough to talk about it.
It's pitiful, isn't it?
I think it is.
It is pitiful. You know, when I was very young, I started. I read the Bible. That's all we knew, was
yeah.
to read the Bible
yeah.
and go to church. And we had so many different creeds right there in the neighborhood. And we'd go to one and the other, but mostly. Missionary Baptist, because my uncle was a preacher, and I read a chapter in the Bible every night before I went to sleep. And so his daughter and I, he was what they call, I guess, a revival or protracted meeting, and his daughter said, Laura, let's go and join that church next Sunday. All right, I said, we will. So I read my chapter in the Bible. And it said there in Ephesians, there's only one true church. And I thought, only one true church? Well, I've got to find out which one is the true church. If I join the wrong one, I'll be lost. And I began to study. And it took me 20 years to find not which one was the true church, but what was the true church. And I found out. But it took me studying a long time to find out. But I continued to study, see? I continued to study, and I wasn't satisfied unless I found it in the Bible.
Well, what helped you the most along there when you were inquiring?
I think the one thing that helped me, I saw all the various creeds taught differently. Well, that didn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
If we found the true church, it'd be exactly according to the Bible. And you know, I never... decided that I had found what the true church was until I read the Watchtower publications. And we have a book called Let God Be True. And there's one chapter on there, in there, all the scriptures on the true church. And when I read that, I knew that I had it. See? I remember one time Doc had some patients from up in Ohio. And the father, her husband, had accepted the truth. And the son had, and they believed it, and the wife believed it, but she still thought she ought to go along with false religion and some, for instance, you've got to give money to the church. I says, a lot of patients in here, and I says, let's go back in my room. I want to read you some scriptures. We went there, and we read all those scriptures on the true church. And I says, since it's heavenly and in heaven, how could you go up there and give money? And she got the point.
Yeah.
She got the point. Because the two churches, the 144,000 mentioned in Revelation there, they're the only ones that go to heaven. And you know, we've been taught that all good people go to heaven. Babies go to heaven. Babies are going to be resurrected.
But it took you a long time to find out that.
20 years. Studying 20 years. Now, if I had had the right help and contacted the people who knew, it wouldn't have taken me that long, but I would read after every creed I could find. I even read Mormonism.
That's something, isn't it?
Yeah, but Catholicism is the only one I didn't read after, I guess, that I ever heard of.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the people in the world today are so confused. It is pitiful. Aren't you sorry for them?
Yes.
I am.
Well, now, I forget, you know, from time to time. I see you as a seller. I forget. And then when I leave you, I'll go off, you know, and start thinking about my head getting wet and something like that. Mm-hmm. Worrying.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget. Now, what was your connection with Cora?
Cora and her husband and her husband's sister, they were pioneers. That meant they spent their entire time devoted to the study and teaching of the Bible. And they were the first ones that came to Alachua County as missionaries. And they spent their entire time going from door to door, calling the attention of the people to what the Bible taught concerning the days in which we're living, and supplied Bible literature to help them to understand it. And they spent all their time. And then when he got sick, even before he became very ill, the doctor had to come and treat him because he went kind of mentally off in a hospital up in Virginia. He'd had an operation and he went mentally off, and when they brought him in there, he was holding on the side of the car, just raving. And the doc brought him out of it.
Oh.
Oh, yes, he brought him out of it. And he was all right for several years after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Doc put him on the diet. And he wanted to eat everything he saw. A mentally ill person would. Why wouldn't? Why not?
Yeah.
And I says to him, but I says, you can't have this food. When he'd run away, every morning he'd run away. And so they would talk about it in front of him. And I didn't like that at all. And so he'd run away, and we'd got him back. And they were talking and telling all the things that he'd done since he'd been ill that way. And it disturbed me, so I'd say right in front of him, I said, but that was all right. That was all right. I didn't want him disturbed. He was disturbed enough.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
He looked at me to find somebody that sympathized with him.
Yeah.
And go along. I says, I'll tell you, brother, what you do. Next time you're going to run away, you come to the house. I'm going with you. The next day is about 9 o'clock every morning, he'd run away. Next day, here he'd come by the house, yelling and carrying on, and I got out chasing after him. And I called to him, and he was going so fast and so far, I knew I couldn't keep up. And I yelled at him, and I said, don't go that way, and he go this way. I thought I'd get him turned around back toward the house. And I got him back, and we brought him out. But, you know, I've been unusually good with mentally ill patients because you can't irritate them. They're already irritated to death.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And I go right along with them as far as I can, you know. And if you go along with them, you can get the control of them, you know. I'm so sorry for people.
He thought of you as a nurse then.
Oh, yeah. I nursed for years.
Yes. Well, I don't know. The last time I went to the hospital, the nurse didn't go along with me.
But, you know,
I didn't see the nurse, actually.
You know, so many people that take care of sick people are not, they don't know enough to do it, do they?
Yes. But now, Cora, you were here before Cora ever came.
No,
to this country.
No, we were in Florida, yes, but we lived at Lakeland for quite a long while. Moved from Lakeland up to Williston, and Williston here, and we come here. What about 1940 that we moved in this house?
About that time.
Yeah.
You'd only just been up here.
Yeah, we lived over
by
the Thomas Hotel first, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
We bought this place and have been living here ever since.
1940.
Yeah.
1940.
We were called to Brooklyn, Doc was, to treat the judge. He was a president of the Watchtower Bible Tract Society before Brother Knorr and after Brother Russell. And so when he became ill, Doc was called to go up there, and I had to take care of the business. In fact, my brother's a doctor, and we were running a sanitarium in Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
And so he come, my brother, and took care of all the patients there until they were well and could go home. And then after that, I went with Doc up to Bethel. In fact, he went to San Diego at that time because they had a home there. And I was with him there for quite a while, Doc and I.
And Why is that?
Brother Franz, he's at headquarters. He's the greatest
Bible.
Yeah.
And you have his talk.
Yeah, we have his talk. We had it just ready for you to hear part of it when you come in.
Yeah, just ready there.
Yeah.
Well, you all should visit. Listen, you don't know what to do then, do you?
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's a great privilege.
Yeah.
Because you can play it over just
die. I need it because you see, I don't remember like I used to. What does she say?
She doesn't talk about you not being able to remember.
Well, she's a lovely person.
Yeah, but he says she doesn't talk about you not being able to remember.
Oh, well, you see, when Nell Goodlin and I used to go down there, we had 7 studies at one time right around her neighborhood. Neighbors she talked to and got interested, and you weren't there then. And we'd have called on you often at that time if you'd have been there, but that was before you came, see? You came just a little too soon.
Yeah.
But I remember one time going to your house and trying to find you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Out of the country?
Yeah. I know where you live. I wouldn't know how to go there now. But I went there, and I tried to get somebody, and I couldn't find anybody around there. Nobody home.
Well, I just think all these people where you go are not at home. They don't know what to miss.
Well, no, they don't.
And then when you come up there and start talking to them, you see, they'll start arguing or something like that, and they won't know what they miss.
Yeah, but it's only those who don't love Jehovah and don't love the Bible and don't love truth and righteousness that don't listen, you know. But do you know, Guy, it's sad. There's a lot of people in the world that really don't know much about their Bible, don't know too much about God, don't know what it means to love their neighbor as they do themselves.
No.
And to live according to Bible principles. And that's the saddest thing in the whole universe today.
I don't see how you get anything any sadder.
You rest and give much pleasure to your soul. Now, acknowledging of God's direction in your responsibility as a parent secures a vital need of all children, their need for love, guidance, and a sense of security.
Yes.
All children need that, and if parents don't give it to them, where are they going to get it? Parents ought to give it to them, and when they go to school, they ought to get the same thing.
Yes. Well, so, now you see, you make more effort at that than anybody else.
Have you got that tape?
We are the only people
on
that...
Machine.
Pardon?
Have you got that? You were taping that on this machine?
No.
Guy, Jehovah's Witnesses try to live by the Bible. And they have these things. They have this book with the morning text.
Yeah.
And they teach their children these things. And I have a great granddaughter. It's refreshing to know her because she's made good in school. But we have to keep her away from certain elements, you know. And we believe in going just by the Bible. And that doesn't mean beating them up, discouraging them, you know. It means guiding them the way, and they like it.
Yeah.
Right kind of children like it.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens to these children.
Yeah.
When they decide against any authority, they don't learn.
No, they don't.
They get through the courses. You can't fool everybody.
I know.
But they haven't learned anything.
That's right. I've got a young man that he and his parents are coming here because they're interested in the Bible. And they know that I have been for years. And in fact, some of them studied with me way back yonder. And what was I going to tell now? It slipped my mind. Man graduated here at the P.K. Young School. And when he graduated, he couldn't really read good. Isn't that pitiful?
Yeah.
Why do they graduate them?
Yeah.
along this line, there's just a, something I'd like to read out of our latest Awake. It's
telling, I can't hear that
part. It's telling about the assembly, you know, the different ones that were baptized, just a few of them, and what they have to say about it. And this point here, it says, baptized at Buffalo was a 26-year-old youth who was formerly a member of an ultra-patriotic organization, dissatisfied with the United Nations, he said. The witness showed me from the scriptures that the UN was part of Satan's organization, and that is what drew me to the Bible truth. Now, you take some of these people that are hippies, atheists, and everything, and the witnesses can meet them in door-to-door work and call on them and discuss these points with them. And you see those, now with that young man, you see, it met a response right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he looked into it. And here, a year or two ago, there was a young girl that was a hippie. And the witnesses called on her, and she was listened, and it appealed to her, and she wanted to study. So the sister studied with her, and she said the girl came with her dirty blue jeans and her long scraggly hair and her dirty feet, with a Bible in one hand and her guitar or whatever it was in the other hand. And as she studied, she began to see the need for cleaning up. But the hardest thing for her to do was to learn to wear shoes.
Oh.
But she finally did, and she was baptized, dedicated and baptized, and fulfilled the requirements, and went through Gilead, and is now a missionary in a foreign country.
Oh, really?
And she began to talk, when she began to learn, she began to talk to her hippie friends.
Yeah.
And they, some of them started coming to the Kingdom Hall to see what it was all about. So you see, they're not, way down in their heart, they're not all bad, but when they hear the truth, those who are somewhat...
I can never understand why they want to go barefoot. When I was a coming up guy, only people that couldn't afford shoes went barefoot, and I felt like a disgrace if I ever went barefoot, and I never went barefoot.
but that's the truth.
Listen.
I know.
If you could just get their attention.
I know.
One time.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way it is.
Well, they won't cut you out.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And that was one of the demonstrations they had up there, was this brother called and met a couple of hippies. It was some of the witnesses taking that part, and then they did it up by TUA number one.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And he... And the brother met them, everything they brought up, he met them with a scripture from the Bible.
Yeah.
And that, in that little green book that you have, is the Bible really the Word of God?
Yeah.
And he was able to corner them so that they couldn't go any farther in every line that they brought up. And so they said, well, yes. So he gave them an invitation to come to the Kingdom Hall and see what it was like. And so they said they would.
Guy, I want you to disconnect everything. I want to discuss something with you that won't do to go on record.
Okay.
The American Medical Association, in my mind, has set themselves up as gods.
Yes.
And I don't go along with them at all. Now, I want to give you a point of view. About 50 and 75, or 50 to 60 years ago, they began to mix the hormones. Give male hormones to the female and female hormones to the male. Did it ever occur to you? We never had boys that ever wanted to wear long hair or ever wanted to be girls until this came in.
No.
And I never thought too seriously about it until not too long ago. Some friends that were studying with some other friends come to me and talk to me about these boys. All these boys of this family wanted to do was to be like the girls. They wanted to play with dolls. They didn't want to be like boys. they wanted to be like the girls. And I began to study about it. And I thought, well, I believe I know what. And so I had an opportunity to visit the mother. And I says, when you were carrying these children, were they giving you female hormones? Yes, they were giving me female seed. These boys wanted to be like females. They didn't want to be like me. Yes, she said, they were giving it to me all the time. Well, do you see if they had an overbalance of that female hormone? Or if you've seen girls who wanted to be boys, we used to call them tomboys.
Yeah.
Ever think to you the mixing and meddling up with God's creation might cause a lot of trouble in this old world?
Yeah.
Something to think about, don't you think?
Yes, I do.
Now, I haven't found anybody that's gone into it and studied it, but I've been doing a lot of thinking along that line.
Well, it seemed like something unnatural, doesn't it?
It is unnatural. It is unnatural. It's meddling with God's creation. And do you think God didn't know just how much of this kind of hormone or that? Somebody was in here the other day visiting. Oh, I've got to get this refill for these hormone pills. I've taken it, so and whoever it is just so nervous, it's pitiful. And somebody studying. And says, he says, I mustn't get it filled anymore. This is as much as I dare take.
Well, now, you see, you've got that background, and you've gone into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can you can see those things.
Mm-hmm.
What was that tablet you gave me in here, like a mint, when we sat here and ate them? You gave me a handful, and I just sat here and ate on them. They tasted good.
It is a vitamin, I guess.
Vitamin.
Yes, some kind of vitamin. Of course, I take all kinds.
Yeah.
But I only take natural
vitamins.
It probably
was some of those C's that are flavored.
That's what it was. It was a vitamin C, and it is a natural vitamin C. If you get what I call a drugstore vitamin C, it's nothing but ascorbic acid. But you can get them made out of rose hips and orange juice and things, yes, acerola berries and all, and you can get them that taste wonderful. I'm going to order me another bunch of those. They were nice to have.
Yeah, why do you?
I get them from a vitamin concern. I think I got that one from Massachusetts. I'll get the address if you want it.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you, they're wonderful if you're taking a cold. You can start sneezing, take a cold. You can take them and it just knocks it out. And it's worthwhile, you know.
Yeah, when I see it's if you know those things.
I know.
But it's hard to find out.
It's hard to find someone knows the difference between a synthetic, and that's medicine,
yeah,
and something natural, which is a food, you know. And commercialism has, or the doctors have commercialized on everything until it's pretty hard to know the difference. And they don't want you to know. They want you to go to them for everything. I'm glad I come along when people studied a lot about natural therapy and natural things.
And they had their own remedies.
Yeah.
Many of them.
My father went out in the woods and picked his herbs. And do you know he had 16 children by my mother and two by my stepmother. And do you know, during my coming up, through that first family, I don't suppose we had a doctor more than three times the whole time. And then one of my brothers went to West Virginia and contacted, I'll think of it after a while. What did they have back there? It wasn't TB.
What was that? I heard you tell that. What was that?
Typhoid fever, I believe. Typhoid fever, I believe.
Now, how many was in your family?
There were 16. There's five girls and 11 boys.
And
I was the oldest girl.
You were the oldest girl?
I was the oldest girl, and I had plenty to do.
Yeah.
My father, every time he'd go down to work, he'd, come here, Laura, and I'd walk to the door, and he'd put his arm on me. He says, I want you to remember now, everything that you don't do, your mother has to. Of course, that put me right on duty, didn't it?
Yeah.
And I washed and I ironed, and you couldn't send to the laundry. We didn't have any laundry. We didn't have a railroad. It was 30 miles to a railroad. If you if somebody died, my father had to make the coffin. It took too long to drive a horse and a wagon and go over 30 miles and get a buy a coffin and bring home to bury your neighbor in. My father made them.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
North Carolina, right at the Healing Springs or Crumpler.
What's that close to?
Let me see.
Ashland.
It's right between the Piedmont section and the mountains, you know.
Yeah.
We weren't in the mountains, but we were right in the Piedmont section.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to go very far.
But that's the kind of country I grew up in.
Yeah.
West Tennessee.
But don't you like it?
I'd live there now if I...
I would.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's wonderful, I think. And that whole old-fashioned way of living, there's nothing like it.
Nothing whatever.
No.
Nothing like it,
no. Well, don't you think after Armageddon, we'll come back to everything will be natural. There won't be any, God won't permit the devil to interfere with anything, Guy, and it's going to be wonderful to live in the new world. Can you imagine over 1,900 years people praying for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done on earth as done in heaven? Do you think Almighty God will fail to answer that prayer?
I think the biggest relief would be to get rid of all these old automobiles.
Well, I don't know whether we'll have automobiles in a...
Well, if we have automobiles, have some method of transportation. But automobiles then won't be like they are now.
I think there'll be a way of going from place to place, but it may be so far superior to what we have now. It seems to me like, you see, Satan has brought on commercialism. Satan has brought on, now, this medical doctor's charging so awfully much. How can a poor person... The only good I can see you from that, now you're going to take exception, don't you think what now what I'm saying? The only good I can see in it is they fail to take some of these drugs that isn't good for them. If they get so poor they can't go to the doctor, if you get what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, on the television, I've been seeing where they said... It got so the poor people can go to the doctor because the state will pay for it.
Oh.
But it's people that earn a living.
Yeah.
That can't afford to go
there. The middle class. We'll say the middle class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, it seems like a lot of truth in that, but I don't go anywhere when I have to.
You wouldn't go anyhow if you pay your bill, would you?
Huh?
A lot of people wouldn't go if you paid the bill.
No.
I am allergic to the miracle drug, so I have to be very careful who I go to.
Now, there's so many things like that, if a person is new about it.
I'll find a catalog and you can order them, or I'll order them for you.
What else do you order?
I take all kinds.
Vitamins?
Yeah, I take E for my heart.
Yeah.
Vitamin E is very valuable vitamin. Vitamin C is what you take to prevent colds and flu and things like that.
Like orange juice.
Yeah, yeah. But you know you can take a vitamin C. It's a little difficult. If you mix your orange juice with your biscuits, the combination isn't too good. It'll cause fermentation with some people if they have an acid stomach. But you can take your vitamin C and it's absorbed right quick and you can get the benefit of it and it's far superior. It's the best medicine you can take. And that's good to destroy your germs too.
Yeah.
So what more do you want? I'll find one of those now. When can you be back again? If you have a lot of time, I might find some of those catalogs right now.
You know what? I've had
Bright's disease, not Bright's disease. I'll tell you right after a while. What is it you have when your kidneys won't take care of anything? It's not bright. It's, or is it bright? See? Well, I can't take hard water. I can't take city water.
Yeah.
I can take two glasses of city water and my kidneys just cut off right there.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'll try to urinate and try to urinate, and I can't. I have to do something about it after a while. And yet I can drink coffee made out of the right kind of water. But if I go downtown and drink water made out of that city water, then that'll cut my kidneys off.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's the water, and it's the fluoride and the other stuff they put in the water. But I can go out here. Now, during my husband's lifetime, we got distilled water from Jacksonville. The distilled water here wasn't so good, and we bought it in five gallon bottles from Jacksonville. And when we'd go to New York to a convention or someplace, we took my drinking water along with me.
Thank you.
And but you wouldn't have anything that in your well. Here I go out in the country to get water out of a well because my kidneys will take care of it, and it won't take care of city water.
Yes,
now that's not city.
I get water from one of my neighbors who has a deep well.
Yeah.
He also, they make candy over there. Robert Smith is right by, the candy shop.
I know where that candy shop is, yeah.
Oh, right on 441.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And he purifies it.
Yeah.
And all. And I get water over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy from these health concerns these things that will purify your water. I had one though.
Magazines here a while ago had that very thing, and I was going
was
to
it
throw
this one.
Hmm?
Was it this one?
Yeah, I was going to throw it away. This isn't the one that I get those.
No, that's not the one that you get those things.
Kind of vitamins from. This is the one that has something that I fluoride and odors and grits and there's a friend of ours here in town, Dr. Tinker, that has a. Well, that's near 200 feet deep. Now, that ought to be wonderful water, but they seem to have a grit in it.
Yeah.
Now, they shouldn't have a grit in that. There's something wrong with it. But you read this, I believe, this thing right there would take it out. If I had a well or something that was in it that bothered me, I would trust that. Now, that isn't a... That's a good vitamin concern. However, I haven't been ordering from them much, but I wouldn't hesitate to get anything from them.
Well, you study these things, don't you?
Studied them all my life. But I forget a lot, just like I couldn't think of the name of that kidney trouble while ago.
How about, now the other people, and other witnesses, they don't
No, some of them are just as orthodox as they can be.
Yeah.
And it depends on how you're brought up, I guess.
Yeah.
See, my father was our doctor. Of course, when they'd have something serious like typhoid fever, and then he'd always call a doctor.
Yeah.
But normal.
For the ordinary ills, you see, they go out in the woods and the fields and gather their herbs. Even my mother, when I was a child, she used to go out around and gather up some herbs.
Yeah.
That's what was her. When she was a child, they lived in a small farming community, and that's the way they took care of their families. They went out and gathered herbs, and she remembered some of them, what they could be used for. And so she would gather them.
I think the disturbing thing now is that... I go to the store and just buy what's out there, and I don't put my mind on it.
Mm-hmm. That's it. It's hard today to know what to buy because everything is so doctored.
It's all doctored.
You can't buy anything but what is doctored.
Yes. You know, I'll tell you the truth. If I tell you the truth.
You can see that it's very good. Now, I was in an injury.
In New Jersey.
Hmm?
This is made in New Jersey.
Yeah. Those are made for doctors. They're very good. Now, this is very good if you're taking a bad cold, calcium lactate, and Adrenaflex, that's when your adrenaline glands. Mine, I was injured, and they, right where the rib connects onto the spine, it's right where the Adrenaflex straddles the nerve leaving the kidney, and that's where I was injured. And this on this side, you see that?
Yeah.
That isn't earth. That's a lack of function of the adrenal gland. And I can take this Adrenaplex there, and that'll all go away in 2 days if I take another of that, see? I take that, and that keeps that gland working better than it otherwise would, see?
Yeah.
Now, there's a sister, this is anti-infection. That is anti-infection. That keeps you from taking diseases that comes around, and so is vitamin C.
Yeah.
Now, there's a sister here in town, the Kings, and she only has one leg. One leg was taken off. And she went to the doctor, and her, I'll get it out after a while, her liver and gallbladder was not functioning. The gall was coming back up into the stomach, and I knew just what to get for her. I ordered her a bottle of, can you remember
the name?
A.F. Bateri's. And I said, I think that'll take care of it. They told her she had to go and have an operation there. And I gave her that A.F. Bateri's. And you know, that's been 3-4 months ago. And she's getting along fine just taking that A.F. Bateri's. That isn't A.F. Bateri's, but I do have some.
Yeah.
I take that A.F. Bateri's every little while because I have what the doctor called it, a disease gallbladder.
Yeah.
So I take around the two of it and get straightened out pretty good.
Well, now how did she get on with that?
Well, being a doctor and everything, and then when the vitamins began to come to be made, you know, all those vitamin concerns went right to the doctors to sell their vitamins.
Yeah.
The AF and the Teres causes that gallbladder to empty, see? And as long as that gallbladder empties, you don't have to have it be operated on. Now, that sister doesn't have a bit of trouble as long as she takes that. But if she quit taking it for 6 months to a year, that might come back on her, see?
Yeah.
But that steps up organic function.
How long have you been doing that?
For years. When I learned that, I went to a doctor's clinic, and I was having trouble, and I didn't know exactly what it was all about it. And there was a group of doctors there, and they were demonstrating all these things. And I went up and was asking them some questions, and they says, you need, they put out a vitamin, you need this. I says, I'm taking it. They took it away. Well, you need this, but I'm taking that. And they took that away. They mentioned about 5 or 6 things, but I'm taking them.
Yeah.
They took them all away just like that. And they said, here, I'm giving you this. You take this bottle and see what it does for you. And it's Bateri's. And it did for me just like it did for Sister King.
Yeah.
It stopped my trouble.
But you watched it and knew what the effect was.
This is a visit with Leola and Lara on Saturday, the 30th of August, 69. Long visit and the end of Channel 1 over. Visit with Leola and Lara on Saturday, the 30th of August, 69, Labor Day weekend. And the end of Channel 1 over. The end of Channel 1 over. The visit just really started now and will be continued on Channel 2 right.